Okay, we've previously discussed kli shalach l'ezer. Okay, that is a kli, a utensil, a tool, a vessel, whose main purpose is to perform a malacha, something that is forbidden to do on Shabbos. Okay, the example, very common example we gave was a hammer. So the hammer, we said, you can use it. The tzorach gufo, the tzorach makomo. You can take this item that's muksa, of that category of muksa, and you can use it to crack open a nut. That's using the tzorach gufo, or if it's in the way, you want where it is. It's sitting on this table, and you want to eat right there, you can move it out of the way. That was the tzorach gufo, the tzorach makomo. That was the category of kli shalach l'ezer. We also discussed muksa machma gufo. Muksa machma gufo were items that were inherently usher, because they serve no purpose. The examples were a rock. And we discussed how you can designate a rock for some kind of purpose in advance of Shabbos, but just on Shabbos, finding a rock, you can't decide to use it. These are items that are out of sight and out of mind for your use on Shabbos. Okay? Now we're going to come to a new category. And it's very important that we understand that it's a new category and that it doesn't fit those previous categories. It also doesn't fit Muktzah Machmat Chisron Kis that we discussed, items that were expensive so you would never use for any other purpose, and it's also not a Kli Shalach L'Ezer, etc. Our topic is Muktzah Machmat Iser. Now, what is the difference between Muktzah Machmat Iser and a Kli Shalach L'Ezer? Muktzah Machmat Iser means, because this item is usher to use and get benefit from, you can't use it on Shabbos. How is that different than a kli shalach l'ezer? A kli shalach l'ezer, you can use. Its main use is a malacha on Shabbos. But it has permitted uses. Certainly, during the week it has permitted uses. You can use a hammer to build 6 days a week. On Shabbos, you can't use the hammer for its main purpose to build. That's a malacha, but you can use it for other purposes. Here, we are discussing items that are usher to use and get benefit from all week long, all Shabbos long. Okay? That's one category. The typical example that we're going to discuss is kilayim. If you have a beged that's shatnas, so you're not allowed to wear it. So what is the status of the shatnas beged on Shabbos? So that's what we're going to discuss. It's likely that we paskin that it's mukza, it can't be moved. There are other items that are usher, that are in this category of mukza machmat iser. They're mukza because we made them usher. The chazal made them usher because of something you might do with them. You might, for example, when it comes to a wet towel, you might come to, what malacha might you do?
Squeeze it.
That's a malacha known as?
Slita.
Slita is what kind of malacha? It's either toledah of dash or libun. Okay? So look at why slita is asr, why squeezing is asr. Is it because toledah of dash, mefarik, taking something where it exists and separating it from its source? Or is it part of the laundry process, libun? There might be ways to allow shechita on Shabbos when it doesn't fit either of those two categories. Those are important nafkaminos. Like, especially when you have kids, and your kid might need a compress on his head, you know, because he fell and needs some ice, and it's going to get wet. So if the item is dirty, so you're not going to want the water from it, and it's not cleaning it, because it's not cleaning this rag because it's dirty, so that would be how you would use this kind of cloth as a compress on it. Even though it's going to get wet, it might come to slita. So we would allow you, with that tzad of needing it for the food for your kid, obviously pikuach nefesh, we're not discussing, of course that's allowed, but we could find room within slita. So, an item that is wet, you can't touch it on Shabbos because of slita. So, what category of muksa does it fall into? That is our category again a muktzah machmat iser. And we're going to see a few other items that fit into these categories. Let's start just quickly reviewing the way it was categorized in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Shulchan Aruch HaRav was written by who was first Rav Turin. Okay, and he gives a very nice definition of Mukta Machmat Iser in source 3 here. Sif 10 and Siman Shin Chet, it says, V'chal Mukta Zeh, Mukta Machmat Iser, V'chal Machalot Asurot Bano, She'en Yochol La'achilan Afilu Klavim. It's Asur Bano, so you can't even feed it to your dog. As we discussed, when you have bones and peels, and then you might give them to your dog, so then they're not Mukta because they still have a use for you. Here, you can't derive benefit from it. So, if you can't even give it to your dog, it falls into this category of Iser. Vafilu eini saran ela midirbei sofen, even if it's only asr midirabanan. Kigon stam yenam, wine that was handled by a Gentile. Kiyotsebo vafilu eini saran ela bo bayom bilvad, even if it's not asr forever, but only temporarily. Kigon tevel. You have some fruit that you haven't separated truma b'iser from, so you can't eat them on Shabbos. Are they asur you forever? No, on Motzei Shabbos, you separate truma b'iser. In the meantime, you can't handle them. Also, the takna b'divrei sofrim, as explained elsewhere, v'chen k'yotzeva zeh u'machmat gufo v'asur l'taltalo afilu l'tzorech gufo u'makom. And now, we're going to come to the first example I offered regarding the beged that is shanis. We have a rule that you can't get hana from shanis to the point that you can't wear it. But more than that, let's say you're a seller and you have the shanis beged and it's not even for you to wear it. You want to show the beged, so you're going to drape it over your arm and say, look, I have all these clothes for sale. So even that is not allowed. The hana you get from having it on your arm is not allowed. That's just a rule about shatnas. That has nothing to do with muksa here. Now the question is, you have this shatnas beged. What is its status of shatnas? So let's look at the second part of source 1 here. In the Shulchan Aruch Siv Mem Zayin, he brings bol shitot. Yesh osrim letaltal beged shatnas, v'yesh matirin. Let's look at the last two sifim, sif katan of the Mishnah Berurah in source 2, the Taltel, Vipnesha Asr Lelavsha. Since you can't wear it, you can't handle it. Omutzahu Vafilu Letzorach Gufo Merkomo. You can't even move it if you want its place or you want to use it as a paperweight. Vyesh Matirin, Shev Mikol Mako Maloshu. It is clothing. Vitorah Kli Alav. And it is a Kli. But, says the Mishnah Berurah, how do we paskin? Ha'ikar Hisvara Harishonim. And in Shulchan Aruch HaRav, in second part of source 3, he also has the same machloket in word depth, but it seems to be the conclusion that we don't handle shatnez clothing on Shabbos. Okay? That comes to Dvarim Shasur Vana. Let's discuss more Dvarim Shasur Vana. We have, what happens when you bake a dough? What is it you have to do to it when you mix the dough before you partake of it? You have to separate something. What's that called? Challah. Okay. Can you separate challah on Shabbos? No. You're all saying no. I see you shaking your heads. None of you are sure enough to shout it out, but you're all shaking your heads no. So you're fairly confident the answer is no. Very good. Correct. You cannot separate challah and Shabbos. But there's actually a difference between being in Israel and being in Chutz Lartz when it comes to challah. When it comes to Eretz Yisrael, if you didn't separate challah from a dough on Shabbos, you have no solution to eating the challah that Shabbos. When it comes to Chutz Lartz, challah in Chutz Lartz is on a lower level, it's possible they're above. And therefore, they said you can eat the challah on Shabbos, even though, meaning the bread, eat the bread on Shabbos, it gets confusing.
eat the bread on Shabbos, even though you can take challah, leaving over enough bread so that you can take challah Motzei Shabbos. Okay, now that we have that background regarding challah, now we can discuss Muktzah. What is the status of bread that hasn't had challah separated from it? What is its status on Shabbos? Is it Muktzah?
Where are we?
Excellent. Explain.
Well, because you can't eat it.
Because you can't eat it in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore it's Muktzah Machmad Isser. But in Chutz La'aretz, where you do have a use for it, because you can eat from it without eating at all, so then there, it is not Muktzah. Let's look at source 4. The Rambam discusses Peruch Asr La'ochla, Kegon Peruch Einon Musar. He didn't take Meiser from fruit. Afilu hein chayavim b'meiser midivrayim. They're only chayav in meiser midirabbanan. O meiser rishon shalom in la trumato, the portion that the levi gives the kohen wasn't removed. O trumatameo, meiser sheni, vehekdesh shalom nifter kilkatan. Asa l'tatalan, you can't handle them. Aval demai, what's the rule regarding demai? Can you eat demai? Who said? I didn't hear. No, you can't eat demai. Who can eat demai? Aniyim. Aniyim can eat tamay. So what could you do to eat tamay?
You can take a maaser.
No.
You
can make it not tamay. Okay, that's one option. Tamay means we don't know if somebody took churros and maaser from it. So, if you don't know, so you can take it. That's one solution. The other solution is make all your stuff hefker. If you don't own any belongings, now you're an ani. If you're an ani, you can eat the tamay. So, what is the status of demai on Shabbos to you? Is it muktzah or not? You can't. Really?
It's not muktzah.
It's not muktzah. Why?
Because
you can technically make your stuff after. So even if it can't be, then what? I didn't accept his premise, but it's not. It's not the scope of this year. But even so, even if it couldn't be, in theory it could be, and therefore this bread has use to you. Says the Rambam, "Tamai hol v'royal aniyim, chayin meiser shein v'hekdi shepadan, af api shelo natan chomesh, mutar l'tatlan." It was a little bit extra when you had to be poded, so even if you didn't give that, if you just gave the main part, still, they're not muktzah. It says the Mishnah Berura, commenting on Vadai and Safik, Sherei Chalat Chutzlaretz, Yachol Lechol Below Afresh Chalat. You can eat Chalat Chutzlaretz without being Mafresh. Again, it gets confusing because we refer to the bread and the part you separate as Chalat. But with Shire Ma'ad Arachar Shabbos, leave a little bit, with a Hafresh Minam Ashuyar, okay, and be Mafresh from the part that you left over, and therefore on Shabbos in Chutzlaretz, if you didn't separate Chalat from your dough, you can still eat that bread. Okay. We also have an issue. We didn't want certain melachot done on Shabbos. One of the ones we discussed was schita. One of the ones we're going to discuss is fixing things. We're going to discuss reading certain things. But before we get to that, let's discuss one more issue. Chazal didn't want that you would come to pick fruit on Shabbos. Okay? Picking fruit on Shabbos is asr. All right. So, let's say you have a fruit that fell off a tree. Can you eat it on Shabbos? It fell off the tree on Shabbos. Can you eat it? So, Chazal made a gzera not to eat that fruit, because if you really like the fruit, you'd be like, wow, this is good, I want another one. And you're going to reach up and grab another one. So says the Mishnah Berura, Shulchan Aruch on the second to last source in the first column. Herod Shinashra Mina Ilam Shabbat, Asurim Bo Bayom, La Erev Utarim Biyad. It says the Mishnah Berura, Asurim Shom Shema Yala V'Yitlosh. Either it's a Xera, whether you're going to go up and be Tolish. V'Gami Shom Mokta. What's the Mokta? Because going into Shabbos and Ben Shmashon
it was still attached to the tree. The fruit that are attached to the tree are out of your mind from eating on Shabbos. And we have a klal, migo de katsaya de vena shmosha, something that was already a muktzah during the period leading into Shabbos, is muktzah lekola Shabbat, kula, you can't use it the rest of Shabbos. Migo what? Migo, it's called the Migo of Moksa. Migo de Katsai Levena Shvasho, Katsai Le Kala Shabbat Kula. And the Magen Avram points out, commenting on this, sorry, that anything that you can't eat, therefore, because of this Isser, it's not just anything you can't eat, anything you can't eat because of this Isser becomes Aser Betiltol in this category of Moksa. Meaning, tray food wouldn't fall in this category. Possible call if you can't get enough from it, it would fall in that category. But if you happen to have a piece of bacon around, because you could give it to your animal, because you could give it to your non-Jewish worker there, because all sorts of uses you might have from it, it doesn't fall in this category of Muktzah Machmat Isser. It's only items that are Asr Ba'anah fall into this category, Muktzah Machmat Isser, and then on Shabbos, they can't be handled. They can be handled. They can't be moved. Can't handle them to move them. Yes?
Are
there examples of this Migo? Yes, many, many, many examples. You're saying beyond eggs and fruit trees in the Gemara's examples? Yes, we're going to come up with one. Okay, when we get to Shechita. Okay, we're going to come up with that example. Very important example that happens all the time, even in your modern home. Okay? When it comes to Shechita. Yes?
Things that don't exist before Shabbos are a separate example now. Like Noah. Yeah,
it's Noah. Okay? Fine. Let's move on to there's a discussion in the Mishnah and in the Gemara and Rashi and Tosot, an issue that comes up all the time. Let me start with a story. Okay, people like stories. This story involves Harry Potter. Do you know who Harry Potter is?
Yeah.
Okay. I seriously once was I was once leading a group of B'nai Akiva in Canada, and they flew me in or drove me in or whatever, arranged for me to be there, and I was giving to all the Madrichim in Montreal a session on being better Madrichim, let's say. And one of the examples I gave was of Harry Potter. All of a sudden, I had like dead faces in the room. And not one person in the room had read the book. Some of them had heard of it. But it was to me, it was like all the teens in the neighborhoods where I was dealing with, like, you give a Harry Potter reference, all of a sudden they all, you know, stood up in their chairs and started paying attention. Okay. So, once upon a time, the seventh Harry Potter book was about to come out. I don't know if it's holding in Harry Potter. How many years ago this was? It was between 2005 and 2008, because I was in New York at the time, 2005, 2009. Okay. When it was coming out on a Shabbos morning.
I remember
that. Can you remember? Okay. So all of a sudden, for about 6 weeks beforehand, there were all these discussions in the local Jewish newspapers and newsletters and blogs and discussion groups and email groups about ways to get your Harry Potter on Shabbos morning. Because you risk not being able to get one once the Shabbos at the store sold out. In addition, everybody else knows the Harry Potter ending before you do, because they had 20 hours to read it before you did. It's a big issue. So a brilliant entrepreneur, I don't know if he was catering to the Jewish community specifically, came up with, he would go to the store at midnight to buy the book for you and bring it to your house. This is in Manhattan, in New York City, where everybody's really close nearby, just a few blocks from one bookstore to a bunch of apartment buildings.
A non-Jewish guy.
He was probably catering to lots of kids whose parents wouldn't let them go out to be out at midnight. But this also presented an opportunity for all the Jews who couldn't go to the bookstore at midnight on Friday night to buy the book.
So now there's the discussion. It's within an Erev, and you arrange it beforehand, and you can get him to open the package for you, or whatever else. Can you arrange to have him bring you this Harry Potter book before for you at Shabbos work? And I happen to have flown into Israel for a wedding, and I went up to Rav Lichtenstein, Zatzal, at his makom. And I said, this is the discussion that is currently taking place in the community, back and forth, different rabbis writing wrong things, and many of them are talking about, oh, you know, maybe you shouldn't, and it's not appropriate, but what's the rule? And I went through it, I said, so the narrator would explain the whole thing. And Lichtenstein looked at me, and he said to me, they shouldn't read it that Shabbos, they shouldn't read it any Shabbos. And then, with a smirk on his face, he turned up to look, he was sitting at his buckle, he looked up to me and he goes, did all these people do Shnayim Mikra? That was his answer. So what's the issue? What are we talking about? What's the issue with reading Harry Potter on Shabbos? Gemara Shabbos, Kuftet Zayin on the bed. Amru Recham Yom, Bnei Amru, Kitvei HaKodesh in Koman. You can't even read certain Kitvei HaKodesh. Kadesh Yomru, Bekitvei HaKodesh in Korin, Bekol Shekain Rishtari Ajoto. If you can't even read certain holy documents, you'll realize that this reading is a very real issur, and you'll know, therefore, that it includes non-holy documents. So what are the issues? So some discuss that it's an issue that you'll lead to business if you read things. Some say they'll read you to make a correction, to edit it, to fix it. These are the issues. The other possibility is Yeshayahu discusses with Davar Davar that you shouldn't be doing the same things during the week as on Shabbos, or if you shouldn't be doing the same things on Shabbos as you do during the week, so we don't want you to read certain things on Shabbos. So what are those things? Kol Shekein Shtari Hejoto. What are Shtari Hejoto? Says Rashi, Kigon Shel Chashbono, bills, O Igro, letters. Herein lies our problem. Comments Tosuf, Kol Shekein Shtari Hejoto, Pirish Bekodros Igro, letters. Betema, this is questionable. People read their letters on Shabbos. Look around, they do it. Must be okay. Because what can you do with these letters when you're done with them? You can use them as the bottle stopper. We discussed that in previous weeks, that they didn't have these ready-made bottle caps, and they all of a sudden, the bottle, they didn't want it to go bad, to ferment, to go flat. So, I don't know if they had bubbles back then, but they didn't want it to go bad, so they had to cover it. So, they would take a piece of paper they had. So, we discussed last time, that Moshe Feinstein just said how that doesn't apply, where people don't use paper for those things, so you can no longer say, you can handle this paper since you might use it as a bottle cap. Without even getting into that, here it says, you can use them as that. Venerillary. Delo kari shtari jyotot ala shtari chovo. Bills, like IOU, here's how much you owe me. Ukeyot sebehen. Aval igro, regular letters, shari. Why? Dipavim shigesh ben pikuach nefesh. Who would send a letter back in the day? It wasn't like we had this, you know, now forget email. Okay? But even in the postal service, the letters were still a rarity. It might have been expensive. So when did you send the letter? When there was pikuach nefesh, quick, send money. So-and-so's in prison. They're going to kill him. We need to bribe the guard. Or come quick. So-and-so's dying, and you have to see them before they die, and maybe you coming might kill them because it'll give them, you know, some satisfaction. And even if you know it doesn't, even though you know the guy's just writing to you, how's the weather, how's your rugby team? Mata Rabbeinu Tam, the lo havi shtar, 62 to nothing I heard. Mata Rabbeinu Tam, the lo havi shtari ajoto. Is that true? Something happened this week? No? Okay. Kevan, she'in sarich l'masha katuva, l'fi she'yodea masha be'ikot. Im einu yodea, shemi gish b'tzor kadol, l'pikuach nefesh v'shari. Rabbeinu Tam says these aren't what's called shtari ajoto in the Gemara, and since you don't really need
what's in the letter, since you know what's written, or even if you don't, maybe there is a big need, or pikuach nefesh, it's allowed. It's talking about contracts or receipts from transactions, from business. There are accounts, history books, about wars written in foreign languages. You can't read them on Shabbos. There were these writings with little inscriptions next to them. There's different discussions among the Rishonim what this is talking about. But it could be like they were like cave drawings with inscriptions or on the Roman arches. So you shouldn't go around reading those on Shabbos. Lo yada rimi hitir. He says even on a weekday you shouldn't be reading these things. To have a lekemosh of leitzim. They serve no constructive purpose reading these things or learning these things, so therefore you shouldn't even read them on a weekday. Now, this is very nice. We have a Mishnah, we have a Gemara, a Rashi, a Tosot. Much of this is actually paskind la'alacha in the Shulchan Aruch. The next source, Shulchan Aruch Siman Shin Zayin, Shtari Ajotot, the Hainu Shtari Chovod V'Cheshvono V'Ikro Tshashil Et Shalom, paskinding like Rashi. Aser the krotam, you can't read them on Shabbos. Va'afilu la'ayin mehem below kriya aser, even just to glance through them, browse through them, but not to read it, that's also aser. Continues the Shulchan Aruch. Belitzod u'mishalem shalsicha chulin medibrei cheshek. If you just have these stories or romance novels or stories of allegories and wars. You go and say for Emmanuel, the Sefer Mechama, Aser the Krov and Meshavas. You can't read them on Shabbos. Va'af b'chol Aser Mishum Moshav Leitzin. You can't even read them on a weekday because it's a waste of your time. Over Mishum Al Tefnu El Elim. Don't do what Goyim do. Lo Tefnu El Midatchem. Over Divrei Cheshek. When it comes to romantic things, Nikatu Mishum Megari Yetzer Hara. You're enticing your Yetzer Hara. Omi Shechivran. Whoever wrote them, Mishetika and copied them. Ena Tzarich Lomar Amad Pisa and printed them. Machtin and Rabbim are causing people to sin. Says the Rambam. V'nir l'daktik. Ha da asr dekrot v'sichat chulin sipurei mechamo. That we don't read. Things that are in Torah that are just plain topic or war stories. Ha'n redakim gedum v'lashon laz. Only if they're written in a foreign language. Ava v'lashon ha'kodesh. If they're written in Hebrew, shani. A very interesting kula of the Rambam. What's the benefit of it being in Hebrew if it's not Torah, it's not productive, it's not helpful? Well, let's look at Mishnah Berurah, the next source, Samach Dalet. Sorry, let's look at the one before that. Yeah, Samach Himo, Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon Va'atzma Yishma Kedusha. Hebrew has Kedusha. But lo me mimenu divrei Torah. From learning Hebrew, learning how it's used, you're in essence, learning Torah, and it helps you with your Torah learning. Lefize gami geret shalom akatuv loshon hakodesh shari likro tiyesh lamod mitocho aloshon. So therefore, a letter somebody wrote you in Hebrew, you can read because you can learn from it. Ach shari chovod v'chashbono gam narama aser afil v'loshon hakodesh. But based on that logic, you still can't read bills, even if they're written in Hebrew, even according to the Ramah. Linya kriyat saitugnin, which is newspapers, b'shabbos. Afshe b'tshuvah shut Yaakov mekel b'zeh harbeh achronim osrim b'pnei sheyesh b'yediyah m'inyanei masum matan. A lot of what newspapers have is about business. Therefore, people often ask me about sports section. She doesn't have so much about business. And obviously, community standards on this issue. People often ask me, so, and to admit, I've read sports sections on Shabbos, so what was that based on? So there are a few different tshuvot that are matir, though some are careful to say that you should not read the captions on the photos, because when you read captions on photos, at Zeri you might come to read receipts and bills, you might come to read the prices on items in a catalog. We can get to that in a minute. But in general, and
That's about newspapers, and that's without even getting into the issue of a newspaper that arrived on Shabbos and the Erev and going bringing it for you. That's a discussion for another time. Okay. Let's continue in the Mishnah Berurah, Samach Daled. So he says, the Ramah says it's Shari, if it's written in Hebrew. So the Mishnah Berurah has a long list. Aval Aguda, Vataz, Vabach, Oder Berachron, Chokraze, Osrin, Vechenu, Gamkin, Dara, Grah, Fizek, Gabi, Gerich, Shalom, Ein, Nakamina, Bein, Belash, Laz, Bein, Lashon, Kodesh. You can't read these letters on Shabbos. Fine. One last sif in the Shulchan Aruch, and then we're going to discuss the Mokzah from this. Shulchan Aruch Shin Zayin Yud Zayin says, "Also the mod b'Shabbos Yom Tov Zulah b'Devrei Torah. You can't learn except Torah. But filu b'Sifrei Chachmot, also you can't even learn science. Yesh Misha Matir. Some are Matir you learning science on Shabbos. While Pi Svarato Mutzer Labid Batstrolov b'Shabbos, you can even probably look in a telescope on Shabbos." So says the Mishnah Berurah, Yesh Misha Matir b'Chenog and Lahatil. Though he says, Eliyarabo says a Yari Shemayim would be Machmir, as the Rambam and Ran are Oser. So,
a lot of people come from places where the mail is delivered on Shabbos.
Is that the case in your locale? No, it's not?
Australia.
They don't deliver mail on Saturday in Australia?
No.
Oh, where are you from? Okay.
Just
the last 2 years? Okay. But many places do. So the question is, can you handle the mail that comes on Shabbos? And for the most part, the poskim say no.
Because we don't seem to rely on that possibility that there's pikuach nefesh,
possible pikuach nefesh in those letters. For the most part, I would tell you that most mail that comes today is bills. Yes? Read. Checks, bills. But there's also, if I have it here. When it...
There are places where the mail is delivered to a mailbox. So certainly there's no reason you should get that mail. But there's places where the mail is slipped in through a slot in the door. Now you come in your front door, and there's mail on the floor. So you're allowed to move that mail.
Yes? How?
Don't do it outside. Excellent. What do you do? Kick. Okay. So you kick whatever mail is there out of the way.
Okay. Now, you and I all know that there are people who don't keep to these rules about things that you shouldn't be reading on Shabbos. Agreed? Yeah, I'm not the only one who knows people like that. Correct? Okay. There's some people who are reading things besides Torah on Shabbos. Okay. Does that make a difference for Hilchot Moksa? Hilchot Moksa.
And the answer seems to be yes.
Let's look at the second sheet. Shuvot Meir Gaon Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's printed at the back of the Sefer Tefillei Shabbos. The second question there, Sheila. Otam asher korim b'sifrei cheshek kol yomei shavua. People who read these books for fun or romance novels for fun all week. Ve'enom yodim e'iser kriyat svarim elu. They don't know their asr. Hayim svarim elu shalahem havalei moksa. Since they read them, not only during the week, they also read them on Shabbos. Are these books moksa? And the answer is even though you can't read them, only items that are asr because of malacha are mukta.
We know the concept of klish lachal iser. Klish lachal iser is only asr when it's used for iser. Here, we're discussing another category. We're discussing the category not of klish lachal iser, but of muktzah machmar iser.
Mukzar Machmal Isser means I am knowing that this item is asr all week. And therefore, because I'm knowing it's asr all week, I can't handle it on Shabbos. If you're not knowing that it's asr all week, then it's thereby not asr to handle on Shabbos. That's Rav Moshe Feinstein's answer. Okay. Let's do, before we get to squeezing and fixing things, let's just do one more about reading. He discusses both Feinstein and Rav Orbach have tshuvas here on the second sheet regarding reading catalogs. What's a catalog?
Simple question. A
little glossy magazine.
Things
for sale and their prices. Okay? So he's actually going to be discussing a catalog that would be about this size, the size of your Gemara. Okay? These were the catalogs they had when I was a little kid. It was a company called Sears, and they had this huge catalog. It had 500 pages of all their products. And they would come out with it once or twice a year, and people would hold on to them, so you can order from them constantly. This is before the internet, where you can just go online and see what's available on Amazon. So here, this was the way to know all the clothes that were available, all the toys that were available, all the furniture that was available. So, can you read these catalogs on Shabbos? Now, seemingly, the catalog you wouldn't be able to read because it's, like you said, it has the prices, it's for things to buy. Okay? What about reading it not to buy anything? Because my friends and I all used to read it to dream about those bedroom sets that had our favorite sports team on it, even though there was no way we were ever going to buy it at those crazy prices. To dream about having our own, I don't know, bowling alley, basketball court, tennis court, apparatus, swimming pool, things that they sold in the catalog as well. We weren't looking at it like, oh, here it's $499 for a pool. There it's, you know, $480. I'm going to get it there. We were in no way looking at it for the prices. We were just looking at it to dream about having our own pool. So, can you read it? So, in the first tshuva here, Moshe Feinstein, Chafei, Sifrei Mischar Hanikraim Katalogim Sheish Bo Tmunot Umechirim Shel Chafetzim Mekelim Shonim Lemashal Katalog Chevrat Sears Haim Heim Mokza. Is it Mokza? Tshuva, Svarim Elu Havale Mukta, that's my typo, sorry, Kevin Demuchadim the Miskar. Mishaltiv, Hechadin Bo Tam Shemishtam Shimbo the Yeshiva Ketanim. Let's look through the magazine, let's find some, oh, here's a duck, here's a kid, here's a basketball. Veshivli, Mishtam Shimbo Bechol, Vidarkum Mishtamish Bezeh, Lo Have Mukta. Sorry, that's not what Yeshiva Ketanim is, that was a mistake. What's Yeshiva Ketanim? Since this book is thick, it was used to prop kids up to make them taller, a high chair. Since people use them as a high chair, does that make a muksa or not? Meaning, it shouldn't be muksa because it has a permitted use. So it says if you use it as a high chair during the week, you can use them as a high chair on Shabbos. Let's go to Tshuva of Rosh Shlomo Zalman. Madino letatal sifri miskar anikra catalog im tmunot shel kavetzim kolim yudim miskar mikum akum yishan hashim ani ayinim bahem rak l'shem tanuk v'ana v'ein b'daitam l'knol v'achavetzim anin karimbo. They just like looking through it. They're not actually planning on buying anything. Tshuva, catalog, Rov Tashmisho the Isser, Velo Shari Alot Sarach Gufo Makomo. It's a klish malachto the Isser. It's used for business. But, Tanuk, Vana, Chashim Kitzarach Gufo. Getting benefit from looking through it is considered using it, Kitzarach Gufo. Therefore, it allows you to look through it if you're not planning on buying anything. Okay, now let's move on to the last part. The two, yes.
That's
dangerous, though. Like, say you're looking at it to be buying something, and then all of a sudden you see something. So you should stop. You should stop reading the minute you're like, okay, after Shabbos, I'm over. Okay. Agree. It is dangerous, but let's say people who have no money for these things, so to look through it just to have fun, just to see what there is in the world, is allowed. Okay. So the last part, we covered items that are also to get on out from, and items that you can't read on Shabbos.
The last part is items that Chazal forbid handling on Shabbos, lest you come to shechita, to squeeze them, or lest you come to fix them. Okay? And you have a like a chair or table that the leg fell out of. Okay? So let's go to the Shulchan Aruch at the top of page 2. Mishanasher Kelev Amayim. Your clothes got wet. Can you keep wearing them? Holech Bahem Eino Choshei Shemi Avali Deskita. This happens all the time. You're walking outside and there's a thunderstorm, so you get soaked, drenched. So if you touch your clothes, water's going to come out of it. Isn't that shechita? So that's not the shechita, that's a problem. Okay? You can't purposely squeeze it out, that's clear. But we're not gozer on you wearing them, lest you come to squeeze them. Below yishtakam l'naglam, you can't lay them out flat to dry. Mipnei mar yira'ayin. Because people might think that you just did your laundry on Shabbos. Shaloyach shadu shakavsam Shabbos. Afil b'chadre chadarim, even inside, shen shamroim, nobody sees it, aser. Below aser l'shatam Shabbos, to actually do the laying out on Shabbos. But if you had your laundry out before Shabbos, of m'shatach me'er Shabbos, kenu chavasim, en ol chayav l'sakam Shabbos, you don't have to remove them, so that you won't still be laying out on Shabbos. The Gadim Ashri B'mayim, Asun L'Nagam Samach Eish, you can't dry them near a fire, Basul Letachim, you can't handle them, Shem Yavol Lidei Skita, Hu Shemak Pinal Meimov. Basul Lelech V'Shabbos, Makom Shiachol Achlik, V'Lipo B'mayim, you can't even walk somewhere where you'll fall in water, because then you might come to have wet clothes, and again, you'll squeeze them. And you shouldn't lay them out on Shabbos, so these are the cases he goes through. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Holech Behem, why is it you can walk on them? Why aren't we gozer? Don't walk in wet clothes, lest you come to squeeze them. Shelo asru al adam abegadim shelo veishatam, afilum nashru kelav levar, ulov shal mitchilo, mahalech behem, umestaber dahainu davka melo begadim acher. You can keep wearing your clothes, because they're the clothes that you're wearing. So it must be that you don't have other clothes. What's he talking about? Let's look at the last source on the page. Mahalach Behen Ve'eno Choshesh, the Tosfos Yotov is commenting on a Mishnah, where it says that you can keep walking in them. In the bold part he says, Shalo Ratzu Chazal, Latzricho Lasir B'gadav Me'alav, Mishum Chashasha D'Shem Yiskot, Ki Gadol Kvor Abriyot. Really, we are concerned that you're going to squeeze them. But the concern that you're going to squeeze them is a gzera derabbanan. There's a concern that you're going to squeeze your clothes, wet clothes, so Chazal made a gzera not to handle wet clothes on Shabbos. But they didn't make that gzera on clothes you were already wearing because of kavod habriyot. Just like if you discover possibly that you're wearing kalayim, you don't have to take off your clothes in the middle of the marketplace. So too, you don't have to remove your wet clothes and walk around naked just to avoid squeezing them on Shabbos. Yes?
So, like, for instance, my Shabbos shirts are very wet, they get soaked. Does that count as squeezing?
Yeah, but you're not squeezing it to get out the water and warm the water.
No, I mean, does it still count as sort of squeezing?
It counts as it, but it's not us unless you purposely squeeze it to get out water. If you just walk and water comes out.
Once you're in your house, though, and this, the cover is no longer.
So if you have more clothes, what if you're at a friend's house? You don't have clothes. Okay? So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. If you don't have other clothes, if you do have other clothes, you take them off carefully in a way that doesn't squeeze them. And, okay. So now, Brad asked me before about the Migo de Katsai question. You have clothes that were wet. And during Bein HaShemashah, they were wet. Now it's the next day on Shabbos, and they're dry. Can you take them and wear them? And the answer is no. Because going into Shabbos, they were wet, and you weren't wearing them. So they fall under the category of Muktzah Machmat Isser, because you might come to squeeze them. Since they were Muktzah going into Shabbos, they're Muktzah all Shabbos long. Okay, so it applies to a very common example.
even if you don't own a farm.
Okay. That was regarding squeezing. And now we have to discuss fixing things. Where is it on the sheet? That's my only question. Yes. I only put on the Mishnah Berurah. The third Mishnah Berurah on the page, Mishnah Berurah Siman Shin Yud Gimel, he discusses when you have an item that the leg fell out of, like a table or chair. So he says, Asur to use it. Zera Shemi Yitaka Ba Yitedor Masmerim Davi Gemar Malacha, because we're afraid you'll stuff it back in, push in the nails to fix it. So it's either us because of Bona or Makeb Apatish, but we're worried you're going to fix it. And Yeshmi Shemachter, and I feel a bit tilted, Asul the Didu, a Kobi Tang Zera, Dilma Atila Niach, a regal, but Toko the Toko. So only when you're going to put it back.
But why did I put that second one there? What is the concern? The concern is you're going to put it back in. That means that there's a reason behind it. In other words, if I have a chair that the leg fell out of, or a table, and I can put the leg back in, I can't use that table on Shabbos. Because we're worried, I'm going to see it's uneven, I'm going to stuff it back in. What about if the leg can't be stuck back in? For example, if it's missing, I don't care man away with it, or if it's totally broken, like smashed to bits, it's not one I can just put back in. This gzera doesn't apply in that case. The question is, if I put it on the source sheet, that's a different question. But it doesn't apply when the item is missing, or when... yes, I did put on the source sheet. Okay. The first source on the whole page, on page one. Kirish initial dafila chamir chatei, but one leg came out, asal etatala ramah, v'chein safsal arok shenishma lechamir galah, koshkein shtayim, da asal etatala anichal safsal cher, v'lishala filo nishbara mi bojom, elin kein yashav ala kach pa'am achad kodem ha-shabbos. There's another solution. If you were able to use the table with the missing leg on a weekday, then you can use it with the missing leg on Shabbos. So too with the chair. Gankin asul lachnis regel nisham mishum pinya. Finally, one last one in the 3 minutes I have left to discuss, because this comes up often, is when you have a kli that you bought new and hasn't been toveled, can you use it at Shabbos? Comes up often, yes. Often enough. So, the Shulchan Aruch, the bottom of page 2, says, Mutter lahatvil kli chadash atun tvila. You can tovel it. V'yesh osrin. V'yari shemayim yatsa kulam, or want to be yotze kol ashitot. V'yitin akli leinu yodi ba'matana. You'll give the gift to a guy. V'yachzor v'yishalim imenu, and then you'll borrow it from him. And then, ain't tzar of tvila. Guy's kli doesn't need tefillah. Ramah. Vimu kli shiroi l'molah b'mayim. Let's say it's a water bucket of some kind that needs tefillah. So you malenu mayim in a mikvah. Altalo tefillah. So you use it in the way it's meant to be used, but you use it in mikvah water. That filling it up will tovel it. That is the Ramah's ingenious solution. Says the Mishnah Berurah. V'afa gav da'asul li'tein matan of a Shabbos. Here it's allowed mishum tzar of Shabbos. V'yachsim mishalenu v'kam l'fam l'achar Shabbos. You have to be toefl it again. Okay. People in many communities are not nohave like this. I didn't put it on the source sheet, but those communities where they're nohave to not allow tefillah on Shabbos, which I believe is the standard minhag, so then you can't handle the kli on Shabbos. Comes buktza, machlokes this issur, that you have to be toefl. But if you're nohave like this, so then the kli isn't muksa because it can be used by giving it to a guy and borrowing it back from him. So, we've discussed dvarim asur mana, the items that are usur all week, which makes it different than the kli shalach l'isur because that's usur only because its main purpose is malacha, which is mutter all week, just only usur on Shabbos. We discussed things you can't read on Shabbos. We discussed chazal or gozer on fruit that grew on Shabbos, or
on handling wet clothing, or on handling items that you could end up building or putting back together. And all that falls into this category of Mukzah Machmar Eser. Yisher Koach.